Thanks for flying Southwest, and we hope to see you back real soon.
Very, very, very happy that the best sport in the world is back in season.
Feels good every time. Every spin, I screamed louder.
Bro, I know we're all football guys and football guys, guys.
Yeah, I'm a football guy.
Jordan dropped Marcus last week, so.
Oh, God, Jordan!
I have a lot to say about this.
So, this is the best time of the year for us.
Psych!
And welcome to part two of part 10. Well, no, that's not right at all. Part two of the week 10 matchups here on the Semi-Products Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm Commissioner Rick. I am joined on the line live from Denver. He's our, I guess, our new music expert. As he couldn't be on last night, he was talent scouting. He claims it's for a wedding. Maybe he's starting a band business. Who knows? Welcome onto the pod again, Luke, Team DeOcean Jackson. Luke, welcome to the pod.
Hey, Rick. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. How was the band you saw last night, and how locked in are you to them being a part of the wedding?
Yeah, they were good. It was a pretty strange event because it's obviously they like email everyone who's interested in them, so it's all couples, and then it was just me by myself because Katie's out of town, so it was so awkward. But the band was good. I think we're gonna roll with them, so you guys will see them.
There you go. We've deified, locked up for the Luke Katie wedding, summer 2020.
that's the secret, yeah. That's deify.
But the big secret, not so secret, is last night, Luke and I, so yeah, I guess I said this last night. If you haven't listened to part one, you should stop listening to part two. Go back and listen to part one. The whole thing, not just the end part where Brandon and I kind of bash Luke's team. You got to listen to the whole thing, get the full experience. The big not so secret is that Brandon and I barsed your team pretty hard last week or yesterday, trying to be nice and say that nice things about your team because you are the number one team, highest scoring, best record, all of that. Well, at the same time, your record and your schedule the last couple weeks hasn't necessarily shown that you've got the best team. So what kind of BS do you have to call me out this week?
Yeah, that was quite the stray. I was not expecting to get bashed on a pod like that. I was just sitting here at most points, first place. I thought I was in pretty good position, but I just getting roasted left and right. I mean, I cannot deny that I have the easiest schedule maybe anyone has ever had in the league, but I don't think that takes away how good my team has been. There's always someone who gets super lucky and someone who gets really unlucky. It seems like this year it's me and Jordan. But even like compared to last year, Mike, I know we've already talked about this and I've talked about it a lot and Mike probably hates me, but Mike was 10-3 last year and he scored the six most points.
Oh,
So, I mean, I don't feel that bad. Like at least I'm scoring a lot of points. Mike was quite lucky. I looked back at, it's nice that we've had the same league for so long that we can actually look back in history and kind of get some insight. And the winner has been a top three scoring team every year except for last year, like I just said, that Mike was the sixth most. So I mean, there really is just, you got to score points to win, and if you're in the top three, you have a very good chance of winning. So I'm just trying to get in the playoffs and win. I think if I was, I definitely could be 6-3 or 5-4. I don't think it would make a difference how I would feel about my team. I still think I have one of the best three teams and have hopefully can get a bye and then hopefully can win it all.
Yeah, I guess the other thing is, what is your Excel spreadsheet? What is the is it the hypothetical or Pythagorean record? Or I think, no, Pythagorean, that's the baseball thing. What's have you updated the hypothetical record since, I think, like the last time you posted it was after week 3 or 4 or something like that. So has,
yes.
Have you updated?
I have the implied.
Okay. Implied, that's the word.
Shocker is Jordan should be 7-2.
Ooh.
Which he probably wouldn't love to hear, but I think he has... I might get into more later, but I think me, Jordan, and Andrew have by far the strongest teams. And Jordan has been quite unlucky so far with only having 4 wins. Yeah, he should be 7-2. Another surpriser is Pip's implied record is 4-5, so he's been fairly easy as well.
Wow.
I would also be 8-1 if I had Pip's schedule. He's had a very easy schedule so far. And then I would be 5-4, so I've been very lucky. But there's like every single team besides Scott and Brandon are within a game. Pretty much. So everyone's in the same pack. So it's very, this is the closest year that I can ever remember outside of my lucky few wins. I should be like 6-3 or 5-4.
That's spicy though. I didn't expect Jordan to be having done that much better. And you know, I've been hyping up Pip's team the past couple weeks as like the best in the league, and he would an implied losing record at this point and like not in the playoffs is quite surprising.
Yeah, he would be 4-5, and the rest of the 5-4 teams are Andrew, Mike, Duncan, and yourself.
Wow. All right. So I'm also not doing that bad. Okay, cool.
No.
All right. So I guess sorry for being mean while also trying to be positive and then not being good at being positive about your team. It's very confusing because like I tried to explain it last night, like you've got all of the traits of a very good team, but then somehow with you underperforming the last couple of weeks, you're still the highest scorer and you're still winning. And it's confusing my dumb alien monkey brain. And I just don't get it.
Yeah, I feel like we usually use like 130. That's a really good week. I think I'm the only team that has 4. So I've had 4 really big weeks. One that was 160 that is probably helping my points 4, obviously. But yeah, it was fun to listen to you guys last night. You would just bash it for like 2 minutes straight. And then you guys would be like, I mean, his team is good, but and then just continue to bash it. That's like that's all you could muster up to say. But I do agree that the Bama comparison is pretty good. I mean, everyone else Bama's good, but they haven't played a single person this year, so I get it.
All right, so the positive takeaway, right?
Yeah, I was not gonna lie. I was about this morning. I was ready to come on and just start throwing haymakers, but I calmed down as the day went on. So,
all right. That's good. Well, I'm glad we're now in the positive state of mind. We can move on to bashing other good teams and saying that they're bad as we kick off our matchups for part 2 of week 10, starting with Duncan, who is 7-2, taking on Fronik, who is 5-4. That's Mount Baker's Mayfield versus Eifert Tower. Duncan, a pretty good showing last week, a solid 138. Really big weeks from Mike Evanston, Illinois, and Emmanuel Sanders in his second big game back with the 49ers. And Fronik, a tight win as well. Saquon Barkley ripped off a 60-nice-yard run late in the fourth quarter, and that ended up being the big difference maker. Squeaks away with a win against Jordan. This week, Fronik has already got a slight advantage with Austin Eckler going in the Thursday night game, but don't count Duncan out. He's got Michael Badgley kicking it for him as well. The byes are kind of hitting hard here for Fronik. No Leonard Fournette. A.J. Green's been downgraded to out. And on the other side, Duncan might be getting Darius Juice back, but Carson, he's on a bye, as is Carson Wentz. So already Fronik a slight lead, but he's still the projected loser in this one. What stands out to you in this matchup?
I like to say the first thing that pops out is probably the biggest Seahawks fan I know, Duncan, has 3 and now 4 49ers on his team.
Wow.
That makes me quite happy. It's too bad that Wentz is on bye. Jimmy G obviously was amazing last week, but they just don't ask him to do much. He's not really that great of a fantasy quarterback. But Seattle is a good matchup, as Duncan probably knows. And I wouldn't, on such the most run-heavy team in the NFL, it's not great to have a quarterback, running back, and tight end from the same team, but if you are going to have one of the receivers and tight ends, it's pretty good. He has Sanders and Kittle. I mean, they've been amazing, so I can't blame him for that. It's just can limit your upside a little bit having all that on one team that is very not pass heavy. And then the rest of Duncan's matchups are pretty amazing. I mean, Zeke is matchup proof pretty much at this point. And then Ingram against Cincinnati, I mean, they're just going to run all day, and Cincinnati is terrible. And then Mike Evans has Arizona, which is maybe the worst pass defense in the NFL. And then you probably remember Calvin Ridley made his huge blow-up day. I think he had like 3 touchdowns in his first game against the Saints. So he has a good history against the Saints.
Yeah, I remember that. That was, I think, the first of a 3-week stretch where he scored 6 touchdowns in 3 weeks, and he was on my bench for all of them.
Yeah.
It was it was really fun. Yeah, oh man, Mark Ingram, and I guess Lamar Jackson on the other side as well, for Fronik, that running game against Cincinnati is just so bad. And there's like no reason for them to throw the ball, right? Like, there's just like, I know Cincinnati's not really bad because they've still kind of been in some games, but they're starting a rookie quarterback and they're facing one of the more talented teams in the NFL offensively, just because of how good Lamar is on as a quarterback and keeping plays alive and everything. But there's no reason for them to throw, right?
No, yeah, they just played a few weeks ago, and they both, Ingram and Lamar, both had rushing touchdowns. Let's see, Lamar, he threw 33 passes. That's a lot more than I expected. But I think the Ravens' defense has gotten a lot better. Bengals are starting a backup. I don't think he'll be all that close. I think the line is like 10. So, yeah, I would imagine a lot more running than the first time they played.
Yeah, and then a little bit more now on Fronik's team. Are we finally going to maybe start to see the decline of Austin Ekeler? Like, I know this week Fronik has to make him his RB2 with the injuries and things that he's rolling with. 2 tight end train as well with O.J. Howard and Jared Cook. We haven't seen one of those this year, but I don't know why I brought that up. My question was going to be about Austin Ekeler. Is this finally the decline? Like, is Melvin starting to feel like he's back and going to get the lion's share of the carries? Are we finally going to see the drop-off that we've been waiting for like a month?
Yeah, it does seem like it's going more towards Melvin Gordon. I know I've talked to Jordan today, and he obviously has been watching Melvin closer than maybe anyone besides Jared, and he actually looks like Melvin Gordon now. He was horrible the first few weeks, but especially tonight, he looks incredible. But I think when the bye weeks are over and Fronik has Barkley and Fournette, I think Eckler's a pretty strong flex. But yeah, I don't think it will be as good as it's been. He's the number 4 running back right now, and that obviously will not sustain itself.
What do you think about the flexes in this one? Devontae Parker versus Jared Cook. This is a Dolphins wide receiver and a 2 tight end train going at it.
Yeah, I had it in my notes about Fronik, because that was before AJ Green. So I said, I don't see why AJ Green would play. I mean, he's been hurt and Bengals suck. I don't understand why he would risk it. And he had a setback. So yeah, now his flex is, I guess, with Ginn and Jared Cook. I mean, it's a good matchup, but you're getting pretty far down the totem pole in New Orleans. And then, I mean, yeah, O.J. Howard could not have a good game against Arizona, and he's just never going to.
Sorry, I didn't mean to laugh. You're probably going to laugh.
Something wild happened?
You're probably going to laugh in about a minute and a half anyways. Yeah, I think this, it's really, like, I understand wanting to get a part of that New Orleans offense with them coming back and the Falcons defense just being butt-ass garbage, but like you said, like the 3rd, 4th rung on that receiving tier, and you're trying to go with Ted Ginn as well, and I don't see it working out. Fronik's got the early lead in this one, but I think it's nothing to worry about for Duncan. I think he takes this pretty easy.
Yeah, I have Duncan as well. And even, I mean, Devontae Parker would maybe be Fronik number 1 this week. I think Parker's been incredible. And now with Preston Williams out, he's the only target in Miami. So, yeah, assuming Kittle's going to play, I like Duncan.
All right. That moves us to our next matchup this week. We move to, as I'm unprepared, Tim, who is 3-6, is taking on Andrew, who is 5-4. The Kraft Bunny Ranch versus Melvin Ingram. This one's got some of the most action so far tonight. Duncan or Andrew's already got 16 on the board to Tim's 10. He's starting the Chargers defense. But let's go back to last week first, as Tim is our smelly butt team of the week.
Smelly butt, smelly butt, smelly butt, smelly butt, smelly butt. Smelly butt. Smelly butt. Smelly butt, smelly butt. Smelly butt, smelly butt, smelly butt.
Yuck, that's one smelly butt. Your team sucks.
Tim had 82.2 points. There was at one point before the afternoon games kicked in when he had all of his guys going. It was looking really bad. DK Metcalf was his leading scorer with 24, which isn't bad, but it was 30% of his total. It's just not very good. Andrews also coming off of a loss, a surprising loss to you, Luke, with a 94.9. Kenny Golladay 21, but Amari Cooper and Adrian Peterson, who had a monster day, just couldn't get into the end zone. Coming up short this week. Like I said, Andrews already got 16. Tim's got 10. The Chargers defense with Keenan Allen and Hunter Henry, who's already gotten into the end zone tonight. What are you seeing standing out in this matchup? It's looking like it's going to be a really strong one.
Yeah, really quickly before the matchup, I know we talked about it last time I was on, but Tim has continued the weirdest season I can ever remember. He still has either gotten top two score or bottom two score every single week so far, except for one where he finished as the third highest scorer. But he still somehow has not been the highest scorer in his semi-products career, which is just, it's incredible.
That's the weirdest stat. I mean, everybody you would think falls into that one week where it's like, wow, it happened with me to start the year. Like, my team was garbage, but and I was playing Scott, so I was feeling good, but highest scoring week, like, that's crazy. I thought my team was bad. And like, you would think at some point that would happen with Tim. Like, he would have accidentally, we've been in this league for 5 years now, and at least 4 years, and he hasn't done it.
Yeah, his team, he has some pretty strong teams. And especially this year, he said he's finished the second highest score three times and then the third highest score once. I mean, that's amazing.
I'm shocked. It's another thing where it's like on paper, you're thinking, yeah, this is a really good team. He's got the pack stack. He's got Todd Gurley. He's got had Kerryon Johnson, but now he's got Ty Johnson. Like, it's all kind of looking like it would work out, and just, boy, if Tim wasn't so normal, he would probably have like really strong feelings about this.
Yeah, this is even better than the Julio no touchdown streak. I mean, we're going on like 5 years now. This is a world record.
As I'm choking to death. By the way, low key, the Julio Jones touchdownless streak is still going. Which is
back.
Surprising and unsurprising. Please talk about this matchup while I die.
So Tim is definitely excited to have his Packer stack back. I'm sure. Even though they were not good last week, they should be fine. The rest of his team, besides Chris Godwin, is a little dicey. Todd Gurley is more of just an RB2 now. He doesn't get that many touches. He has scored a touchdown in, four straight weeks now, but he's kind of just touchdown dependent. The Rams just aren't as good as they were last year. And then losing Kerryon is big, obviously, and Ty Johnson does not seem to be worth the 35 Baha bucks or whatever he spent on him. It's like a 3 or 4 running back backfield right now. And then DK, like you said, went off last week. We'll see how much Josh Gordon plays, and then they're playing the Niners. So I'm not quite sure how good of a game he'll have, but he just takes one big play, and it can make your week.
Yeah, is he panning out kind of, I think it was talked about, I can't remember with who, but is he panning out a lot faster as like an actual viable fantasy? Tim's got him at his flex, which is, I think, maybe kind of like a good floor for him, maybe wide receiver 3, but he's panning out a lot faster and a lot better than I think I really expected him to.
Yeah, me too. I thought he was just kind of an athletic freak, but he's made some really good catches, and the way Russ is playing right now, I mean, he can make anyone a good receiver.
And on the other side of things, Andrews basically got his full squad going here. he's just missing out on Adrian Peterson, who's on bye, but it's fine. He gets Alvin Kamara back, Marlon Mack, who probably should be getting a lot more carries if Jacoby Brissett isn't playing. He's already got 16 and a touchdown from Hunter Henry. Really, the only question mark is Amari Cooper, if he will or won't play. And with that being the Sunday night game, he's really kind of hurting himself because he's got nobody right now on his bench that he'd be able to plug in there.
Yeah, that would not be great if Cooper missed. It sounds like he's going to play. Quickly on Amari Cooper, he has probably the craziest home road splits I've ever seen. Since he's been on the Cowboys, these are his home game stat lines. It's going to be a lot of numbers, so it might be confusing. But 58 yards and a touchdown, 180 and two touchdowns, 217 yards and three touchdowns, 106 and a touchdown, 88 and a touchdown, 226 and a touchdown, and 106. And then his road games, 75 yards, no touchdowns, 36 yards, no touchdowns, 32, no touchdowns, 31, no touchdown, 44 and 1, 42 yards, 3 yards, 80 and 1. So he's just like a completely mediocre wide receiver 3 maybe on the road, and then he's just a god at home. So if he's healthy, he should have a huge week.
That's crazy. And I like, my gut reaction to that is maybe teams right off the bat are like, we're not going to let Zeke go off at home because that would just be the worst thing in the world, because like once he gets started, you can't really stop him. So they're just like keying in on the run, so they go to the pass a little bit more, and then Cooper's just there and he's really good, so he's doing well on that. That's great. But to not like score that often, like on the road, or even get over like 50, 75 yards is crazy.
Yeah, I don't know what the explanation is. Like, his game on Monday night was the biggest road game he's ever had, and it all came on that kind of garbage time, like 40-yard touchdown.
Crazy. As well, looking at his schedule, for the playoffs, because Andrew is more than likely going to be there, at Chicago and at Philly in the first and championship round of the playoffs there. So that is going to be, if this turns out to be true, he's looking like he's going to be like a wide receiver 3 or maybe a scratch flex play, which Andrew's deep enough so that he can actually play him there, but that's the kind of performance you're going to get out of him. Possibly.
Yeah, I mean, you're never going to bench Amari Cooper. But yeah, I think it seems like you have to, I mean, it's kind of a big enough sample size. He also was fairly similar, not as drastic in Oakland, but you just got to temper your expectations, it seems like, on the road.
I think this plays into the theory of the Alabama kid who's just plays well in Jerry's world, like not all that far west of the Mississippi kind of thing. So there, I think Pip came up with that, or maybe I brought it up. I don't know, but we should definitely look into it more for future reference.
Yeah, we need Pip or Jordan or something to do some weird deep dive on it.
Yeah, let's assign it to Jordan, if we will. Jordan, your homework is to come up with the theory on Amari Cooper and why he's bad on the road and outside of Jerry's world. Thank you. This one already, Andrew looking like he's jumping out to a pretty big lead. He needs the win to boost him in the standings. There is quite the cluster of teams that are at 5-4, and if you fall to 5-5, not the last thing in the world, but it is kind of an important week. And Tim, a lot of football still left to play here. What's your pick?
Yeah, I think Andrew is one of the best teams in the league. And then he just has unbelievable matchups every single player this week. I got Andrew by a lot, and I think Andrew will be the highest scorer. It's my bold take.
Oh, wow. The double down. I'm also going to take Andrew. I think if Breeze and Kamara should probably go off. Galladay against Chicago is kind of a toss-up, but yeah, Andrew's team is a whole lot stronger. Unless, you know, it's the Chris Godwin show specifically on against Arizona, and the pack stack kind of goes off, but Carolina's been relatively okay against the pass. But I don't know about highest score, but I'm going to take Andrew in this one for sure. And our last matchup of the week of part two, Jordan, who is 4-5, is taking on you, Luke, and you're 8-1, top of the standings with your good high scoring team, United Arab Emirates versus DeOcean Jackson. Jordan, like we said, lost last week to Fronik just by a handful of points, nearly got 40 out of Russell Wilson. But after that, his top scorers were Lev Bell with 16 and Chris Carson, who barely got over 12. And you, Luke, an okay showing, almost 110 points, 108. You got Dak Prescott, who had a good day. Zach Ertz finally showed up as well, which is really the important part. And in your matchup this week, you get the return of Julio Jones, Michael Thomas, and Matt Ryan. Maybe Matt Brett will also factor in more, but you're without Zach Ertz at your tight end spot, so that's going to hurt you as well. On Jordan's side, T.Y. is a doubt. He's moved Le'Veon to his bench. That was something that Brandon and I talked about last night. So his death lineup is already benefiting, as he would have had the 16 points that he almost has out of Melvin Gordon on his bench. Instead, they're in his lineup. It's going to be a tight one. Jordan, just a 53% chance of winning, a slight projected lead over you. What are the feels in the DeOcean Jackson clubhouse going into this matchup?
Oh, yeah, like I said earlier, I think Jordan has one of the best teams. I, in my opinion, think these are the two best teams in the league, with Andrew a close third. Again, it's pretty fortunate that I get to play his Seattle stack against the Niners, who have been amazing. But the way Russell is playing, it would be a good test for him. We'll see how well he'll do. I think he could still have a great game. It's pretty amazing he can have a team that looks this good, even with Le'Veon, T.Y., and Evan Ingram out. It's pretty scary. But Odell, it's been crazy how average he's been. He's got a tough matchup against Buffalo. I'm hoping he gets shut down again. And Cooper Kupp is my boy, but I'm pretty nervous without Brandon Cooks. He's just going to get so many targets.
Yeah, it's already like looking like it is the Cooper Kupp show, and he's the number one receiver, and then you just take away another option. And for some reason, defenses just have no way of changing up and being like, oh, yeah, we'll stop Cooper Kupp. It's just like, we're still kind of prepared for the deep threat from Cooks, and we don't know what to do. The thing about Odell that I'm not really getting is he's getting a lot of targets. He's only got 2 weeks with less than two receptions. Other than that, it's sixes and sevens, and he's getting a decent amount of yards, kind of. Only the one touchdown this year. Is it just like teams know how to stop him, or that offense isn't working the way that he wants it to and that fantasy drafters of him expected it would?
Yeah, I think it's both. He's getting the targets. That offense just seems to have no rhythm, and the most effective way they've been moving the ball is just give it to Nick Chubb. So it's just kind of hinder their ability, and their offensive line is terrible. So Baker has to get it out quickly. I thought he was going to be incredible this year, but he has not.
But isn't his thing like the quick slant to take it to the house? Like he's I know he's been the deep threat and he's a super fast guy, but like all of his best plays outside of, you know, the great catches and stuff are just like quick slants. Eli gets it out to him fast and then he just uses his speed and he goes. Like, why aren't they using that? Like, it's worked in the past. Like, just try it again. If your offensive line is going to be bad, like, just change the routes up to make it work for it.
Yeah, it seems pretty easy and obvious to just give maybe the most talented player in the NFL the ball more in open space, but apparently it's pretty difficult for Freddie Kitchens. I think his one touchdown that he had against the Jets was just a slant and he took to the house, so they've tried it, but I guess they're just, the rest of their receivers, they're not worried about Landry. Landry just was underneath, so maybe they must just be have the corner and the safety just tracking him everywhere, so his big playability is taken down, I guess.
The other part of this matchup that's going to be big is that Monday night game, and I guess Jordan is slightly torn. He's going to have three players, two from his Hawks, one from your Niners. How do you see that playing out? We've already talked about Duncan's got three Niners going in that one. How do you foresee that game playing out? Because the Niners' defense has been so good, but they really haven't faced a threat as talented as the Seahawks' offense.
Yeah, like I said earlier, it's pretty fortunate that his Seahawks are playing the Niners. They've been, like you said, amazing, and particularly amazing at home. And then, obviously another big matchup will be that we have two 49er running backs. They've sort of been alternating who has big games. They haven't really been that many games where they've both been really valuable. Where Coleman had that four touchdown game, and then Breida had that huge Monday night. I think Coleman's the safer bet. He gets more goal line carries. But, I just got to hope that Russ only throws a touchdown or two and Carson doesn't get in the end zone.
And on the other side, your team, back to full strength, back to its, very strong self. How are you feeling about the squad? Just kind of rolling with it. And are you really worried as the number two Matt Ryan fan on this podcast about his health after the bye week?
Yeah, to be perfectly honest, I'm not 100% if I'm going to start him or Dak. If you have any insight on his ankle, let me know. I definitely missed my Falcons last week.
I can exclusively report that I've seen pictures of him throwing the ball on Twitter, and one of them was specifically of his ankle. His shoe says ice on it for Matty Ice, and there was like no brace. Yeah. So I'm assuming he feels better. I don't know. Their team is also just really bad. But Julio's good, and Matt Ryan, they're definitely going to try and throw the ball a lot.
Yeah, I imagine that they'll be down early and often, so he should be throwing like 40 passes, but I'm still a little bit nervous. Every injury in the Saints defense has been a little bit better. And like I said earlier, Mari splits. I mean, Dak is amazing at home. And the Vikings defense has not been that great. So I'm torn.
Yeah, because you'd be looking at least three players in one game or potentially three in another game, no matter which way you roll with your quarterbacks. So that's putting a lot of eggs in any basket. And I think you've got the right lineup. Like, I'd much rather face a Saints defense in a rivalry game where you think it's going to be a shootout rather than hope the Vikings have a bad game on the road or something like that.
Yeah, I'm a little worried that just with Dalvin Cook and Zeke, I think that could just be a pretty run-heavy game. That's my one hesitation. That would be probably a slower pace than the Saints and Falcons.
I haven't thought of that either. So it's a tight one. Jordan made the late switch, possibly between last night's taping and today, of Brandon and I telling him to maybe sit Le'Veon Bell. Doesn't help that Le'Veon's also questionable, so he may or may not play. So probably the smarter, safer play there in the long run. You're falling behind early, but a lot of ball left to play. What's your pick in this one? Why are you taking yourself?
Yeah, I was really hoping that Melvin Gordon was not going to score, but he had been looking pretty good. And then the Raiders just keep lining up offsides for some reason. It hurts that Ertz is out, but he also has the Ingram out, so that balances out. I'm torn because I really do like Jordan's team. I'm hoping the Niners can slow down the Seahawks, and hopefully I can get a win.
Yeah, I think this will be probably the matchup to watch this week. It's going to be a tight one. I'm leaning Jordan. It's not that I don't have a lot of faith in the Niners defense. I think they can have a big game, fantasy wise, while also giving up a ton of points, just by being crazy and maybe forcing a couple turnovers. Like, I'm expecting a lot out of that Monday night game, and I'm not really, I don't know. There's something about it that's drawing me to Jordan's team. I think Odell's going to have probably a slightly better week, and Cooper Kupp's going to be a monster. So in a tight one, I'm going to go with Jordan here.
Yeah, I don't want to be the person who doesn't pick themselves, but yeah, I do. Jordan has obviously a huge advantage at flex. I don't love that I'm starting Zach Pascal, but he's the only person, and he's playing Miami. And then I think another kind of interesting, I think these are probably the two best defenses for this week. Both just amazing matchups. Hopefully the Ravens can score a touchdown.
Yeah, I guess with the Patriots on a bye, we don't really have that defense that we'll be able to yell at to be like, how the hell did this happen? So if you guys both like have a warsh there and clear that out, that'll just make the matchup more fun if both of your defenses are going off.
Yeah, that would make it even more high scoring. I think we both have a pretty equal amount of stars and people who can go off, and then if you have your defense score 20, then that's when you score like 140, 150.
That's a very good point. All right. Well, that does it for matchups. Do you have any segments planned for us?
I had one as of like an hour ago. I have a Yeah Dude.
Yeah Dude.
This one is for Duncan making league history, making the first ever, that I can remember, tight end handcuff pickup, picking up Ross Dwelly on the Niners, who I only know because he's the blocking tight end for the Niners. He is 0.1% owned. That would be unbelievable if Kittle sits and he actually started this guy. I obviously don't want Kittle to sit, but that'd be pretty electric.
What? Ross Dwelly. Okay, so this is a real person. He's ranked on Fantasy Pros top 50 of tight ends this week, projected 1.7. It's the highest projection that he's had the entire season. This is a real person. Okay. This is, I guess, Duncan showing that he's the smarter fantasy player by picking him up.
Yeah, it's next level. I mean, we all think running back and maybe receiver handcuffs, but
oh, damn.
Back at tight end, let's go.
Oh, he went to Oak Ridge, too. And I think in – oh, is this is a different Oak Ridge, I think. I thought this was the one in San Jose, but this is in Sacramento. So this is a different Oak Ridge. Okay, never mind. He's still kind of a Bay Area guy, I guess. I don't know.
I like his week 5. He got 2 targets, 2 catches for -3 yards.
You do you follow John Boyes and Roger Sherman on Twitter?
I do.
Have you seen? I only saw this because on TweetDeck I saw that like someone was liking tweets in this thread, but they did a thread of like some of the weirdest pictures of people on Wikipedia and then posting the actual picture it came from. Ross Dwelly's is like a Hall of Fame candidate for it. It's the most pixelated, like grossest photo I've ever seen. You can't see his face. You can only tell that he's wearing a football uniform.
Oh yeah, because they can't use a picture that uses the rights. Oh yeah, this is from someone's like flip phone.
Yeah, like some guy in row 9's like, hey, that's the guy. I think he went to my high school, and he takes it from across the field with his iPhone 6 fully zoomed in, and it's just like 9 pixels.
You can barely tell it's number 82. You can see the 8.
That's true. There's a good chance that it's maybe an 88 or something like that, or like an 85 even. Like it's really close to not being Ross Dwelly.
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah, that was. I found that quite interesting. I feel like there's some actual good. Not good, but decent tight end free agents. So I got a good kick out of that. Now he just wanted more 49ers on the team. I get it.
Yeah, dude.
When you started with a Duncan and a Yeah Dude, I thought it was going to be about his performance on Portland Public Access Television last night, which I don't know if there's archive footage of it. And, you know, Duncan performing as D.B. Stewart was great. Duncan sounded really good. The acoustic set, D.B. Stewart's got a concert in Portland. Hit him up and go see him there if you can this weekend for sure. Great music, DFI, D.B. Stewart, all that. Their new album's out. Find them on Spotify. I think I've done enough positive plugging. The rest of the show outside of him, of it being a TV show that's centered around playing board games without talking about the board games, is the most interesting thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, I wanted to mention that as well after this. That was one of the weirder things I can ever remember. It was very cool to see Duncan on there, but yeah, the people there, I would love to hear Duncan's thoughts. Those were some strange folks, and yeah, they were just playing random games and not explaining like how to play. And then they just, like, invited Duncan to start playing. That was hysterical.
Oh no, are they on? Okay.
Is it
so
every night?
I googled them and they're still broadcasting on Twitch, but it's like a behind the scenes thing where I think they're just setting up for another broadcast. Maybe it's just like the Twitch channel or something like that. I don't know. This is, oh, they do have it up from last night. They have, they've got the show up on there. So if you've got a spare hour and 3 minutes, at least take, there are two DB Stewart performances that you need to watch. Go watch DB Stewart. And then if you want to watch the most cringeworthy hour of public access television I've ever watched, you go check that out.
And I like how they were shouting out our comments that we were posting. I got a shout out for my DB Stew 69.
Oh, that's the other thing, Duncan. I meant to text this to you, but I didn't. And so if you're listening now, obviously, I was not Rick Nodgers 420. That was not me. That was Andrew. He confirmed it. I'm so sorry that they obviously didn't do a whole lot of research on you. And Bree was also texting Andrew to try and get them to talk about anxiety, to play the anxiety song.
My anxiety.
And I saw on your face when the lady was like, oh, and Rick wants to ask how's your anxiety is doing. And I just, I'm so sorry that, because you probably thought it was me, and it wasn't me, it was Bree, and we were just trying to get them to have you play another song and to kind of get out of this, and you handled it so well talking about it. And, you know, if you have been struggling with anxiety or depression or whatever, you know, I hope you're doing better and you're handling that well. But, oh man, I felt so bad for you because they put you in like a really serious spot, and I could kind of tell that you maybe weren't feeling it the most, and then this happened, and I felt so bad, man. I'm sorry. So I hope you were kind of laughed it off or whatever. You realized that, you know, we weren't trying to make a farce of everything, but I felt bad that happened. But you got to play a board game, at least.
I cannot believe how well he handled that. I would have been, like, just so mad at that whole thing. They were so strange, and then your friends just, like, making talk about anxiety. It's just, that'd have been a lot to handle.
So Duncan, a rock of the week for sure for handling that just about beautifully. But a dude to owning a guy that may or may not have his own Wikipedia page.
Yeah, it was quite an eventful few days for Duncan.
Oh, wow. And a big show in Portland as well. DB Stewart and DFI in Portland. I can't for the life of me remember the bar or pub that it's at, but Google DB Stewart and you'll find it. He's on Instagram and Twitter, and we'll probably tag him in the tweet for the show as well. Anything else from you, Luke?
I don't think so. I wish I could be at the show, but I'm pretty far away.
Yeah, that's true. Being in Denver. You got to see him last night, though, at their secret show, the one that wasn't on. You hired them for your
exactly,
band.
Yeah, I'm sending over my deposit for the wedding, Duncan.
Love it. All right. Thank you, Luke, for coming on and previewing on a Thursday during Thursday Night Football. Best of luck to you in your matchup this week. And good luck with wedding planning as well.
Yes. Good luck, Rick. Thank you. Bye.
Follow the podcast on Twitter at SemiProDuxPod. Do your part to get this oddly specific podcast Twitter account to over 50 followers. Then follow a link to our iTunes page where you can subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, give a 5-star rating and review. Subscribe, rate, review.